from the Back to Tank contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue.
We would be honored if you would join us.
How are you feeling? Your latest workups on your condition indicate that all damage has been reversed. Recovery is total. I believe you have been quite fortunate. No further thanks are necessary, Commander, but you are most welcome. It is my function and pleasure as a medical droid to help and heal human beings.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Star Wars From the Back to Tank, the Star Wars Rebels edition of our broadcast. I am Michael Flores, your host, as usual, and I am in the studio, in the cockpit, on the bridge of the Star Destroyer with David Sabal.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So today we are going to be talking about something pretty damn effing great, and that is the fifth episode of season four of Star Wars Rebels, The Occupation.
Dude, this season's turning really good after a slow start.
After a very slow start with those opening two episodes, they weren't bad, but they were a bit lackluster. Then we moved into the rebellion side of things, and the episode started moving ahead. And then something very special happened this week, and not only from a story aspect, but from a behind-the-scenes aspect. And before I knew who was behind, what creative genius was behind these next two episodes that we received, I noticed it immediately as I'm watching. I'm like, this episode is pretty damn effing good. There's not a lot of action, but there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
And my fingers started typing away on the keyboard, Googling, and like, all right, well, here we go. The reason why is because the one and only, the great Dave Filoni returned. And not just as a supervisor. He returned for this episode, The Occupation, as the director, along with Stuart Lee. It's co-directed by the two of them and written by... Who is this episode written by? Does it even matter at this point?
All that matters is Dave Filoni was there.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Let me get that. Written by, I believe, Stephen Melching and Christopher Yost, according to IMDb.
And the amazing part, dude, is like every time Filoni comes back to Rebels, those episodes that he does are arguably the best.
Well, because
the entire series,
he understands not just his own story. I mean, you got to remember, as we've discussed time and time again, David, starting with the Clone Wars back in the mid 2000s, and now leading into almost 10 plus years later, Dave Filoni's still working within a similar landscape of characters and a similar themes. This is his sequel series, so he's been doing this now for over 10 years. All right. So this guy understands Star Wars, number one. Number two, he understands storytelling. And number three, he's a genius storyteller. And this is the reason why we always call him the lesser George Lucas, because this man understands what makes Star Wars tick and what Star Wars fans want to hear and see from their heroes each and every week. This guy is the master of serialized Star Wars stories.
Like, someone pointed this. I actually thought about this, dude. We can now break down Star Wars into almost like three aspects of Star Wars. We have the George Lucas era. We have the J.J. Abrams era that's starting out with the new movies. But quite honestly, in the middle of that is Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Filoni's like carried the torch after Lucas. And it's kind of funny because like, outside of the mainstream, outside of like fans, mainstream audiences, I don't think they know Dave Filoni.
No, and that's very unfortunate because He definitely deserves that type of recognition. I mean, he's probably a guy that doesn't really care about that. Otherwise, he probably would have taken a movie role already, a movie position. I guarantee you it's already been thought.
Discussed. Just,
if we had the idea that Filoni should direct a standalone movie, you don't think Kathleen Kennedy has pondered that as well and said, you know what? This guy was handpicked by George Lucas for a reason. His series is top-notch writing. Why not? And I have a feeling that Dave Filoni has said no, has passed on it, because I don't think he wants that type of spotlight on him. I think he likes the niche that he's in right now, where he can be appreciated for his work and not scrutinized by everybody.
If they announce, like, down the road that Dave Filoni is going to do a standalone Star Wars film.
Oh, my God.
I can bet money that it's probably going to be one of the best.
Yeah.
Because Filoni understands what the tone and feel of Star Wars is down to a T.
And maybe not direct. I know directing a cartoon is very different when you're dealing with live action sequences. There's a laundry list of directors who have tried to make that transition from animation to feature to live action, I should say, and they have failed, crashed and burned miserably. So I'm not saying it's an easy task, and maybe his creative talents when it comes to directing wouldn't translate over to live action. I think I'm not saying it couldn't. I'm just saying there's a big possibility that it can't. However, his writing can.
Yes.
So if they were to even bring him on as a writer of one of the standalone series or standalone anthology movies, that would also be, I think, a huge win for the live action, big budget tentpole Star Wars films as well. And it may give him that mainstream notoriety where people start turning heads and like, man, this script is damn effing good. This guy knows how to write an effing script. So bringing it back to Star Wars Rebels, to have Filoni come back in the final season in this capacity, because it wasn't just this episode, it's also its sister or counterpart episode, The Flight of the Defender as well, that he came back and wrote.
Yes.
So there's a cohesiveness to these two episodes. We're going to be focusing on the occupation, but we're going to probably keep bringing up The Flight of the Defender as well, because they flow together. They're very cohesive stories that by the end of the second one, you can see how all these roads are coming together to create a question. And yes, I think that was the beautiful thing that we saw happening between these two episodes, beginning with the occupation and then bleeding over into The Flight of the Defender. Filoni didn't just come back because he wanted to flex his prowess and his muscles. He's coming back to make sure that the purpose, the true story of Rebels, the overt story of Rebels, is no doubt their journey to creating the Rebel Alliance. That's the obvious. But then there's the underlining story, the one that isn't as overt. And it's the story of Ezra and his journey as a Jedi and what he will become and the paths he will choose, which is a very core question when you're dealing with Jedis in general. What path will they choose? Light, dark? Maybe this is even a light and dark decision. Maybe this is a fork in the road decision, which you start seeing these questions being posed.
Yeah.
Especially with them bringing up Saw Gerrera again. You can see that Ezra's very upset with what's happening on Lothal. It was very disturbing. And even as an audience, David, we discussed this before we even went on, before we went on air today. We discussed how truly bleak it was, and not just because of the obvious and the words that were said, how they burnt down everything, but the entire package, the way it was executed, the tone, the soundtrack, the sound design, everything worked to convey an idea that shit has gone south.
And on top of that, I like the fact that they've really brought it up front, what it means to be under the Empire's rule. Because it's always been one of those things that I noticed in past Rebels, they always say, oh, being under the Empire's rule is terrible. It's terrible. It's a tyrannical dictatorship, blah, 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 blah. But they never really truly show it. And I think this is one of the few episodes that I can recall that basically you really get a sense, this is what it's like under Empire rule. It's terrible.
And it, and you're right. It, we hear about how horrible the Empire is. But in the movies, Rogue One, we see them blowing up planets because that's the catalyst that kind of jump starts the movies, or kicks our actors or our characters, our heroes, into action. So it's more of a writing device to get the story going, but we don't actually get or see the evil occupation or the imperial rule on these planets. We are told that they're horrible, and we see moments of them being horrible, but in an episode like this, we truly get the idea and the scope of how bad
it is.
The Empire really is. And this is something they did in the Rogue One prequel, which, if you guys have not read that book, I believe it's called Catalyst.
Yes.
It's the prequel book to Rogue One. This is exactly what you see in that book as well. And this is around the same time period. You see worlds being destroyed, not by the Death Star, but by the Empire, because A, they're either trying to burn the evidence of what they have been doing by completely scorching planets, or B, they're testing super weapons of all types, and they don't think of the aftermath of these tests, and they're leaving behind a wasteland. And these are things that are very prevalent in the prequel book to Rogue One, Catalyst. And now we're seeing that bleed into Star Wars Rebels. And that, again, is one of the greatest things about this shared universe that all the Star Wars stories are now a part of, the true canon, the cohesive bigger picture, the big story. You get to see these cohesive actions mesh together to where it absolutely makes sense, specifically in the time period that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
So not only do we get that bleak setting, David, but all of this has been strategically set up. And this is what I just love. I love Filoni. Everything's being strategically set up to end it all. And you definitely get that feeling as well. There's a sense of foreshadowing of things to come. And not just a bleak ending, but you get the distinct feeling that they're closing out all the loose ends. They're tying up all the loose ends. They're dealing with Hera and Kanan's non-relationship, David, that they don't have.
That was a non-relationship that they don't have.
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of that one every show, because I still can't believe they tried to deny this. You see them dealing and tackling with that relationship, which I think needs to be done. You see the characters being paired up and kind of gaining this newfound respect for each other. Even the relationship between Sabine and Ezra that we see more in the following episode. So I'm going to put a pin in that for now. But you start seeing the resolve of so many of our characters coming to fruition. Like, they have worked towards this, and now they're approaching the finish line. You have characters like Kallus.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we can get more from him. However, if we don't, I'm okay with it as well, because his story between season 1 and season 3 was so great, and his arc, and then his final redemption and being accepted by the rebels and being part of the crew that he chased, and the people who he chased are the ones who truly respect him. I mean, that's a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, dude, that scene with him and Rex taking over the ghost, that was cool. Because it was like they reinforced the idea that, don't forget, it's the ghost crew, but it's not just Hera, Seb, Sabine, and then Kallus and Rex are part of that rebels crew now.
Yeah.
And like, I like the fact that basically there was that Rex and Kallus kind of had that friendly banter back and forth where they were like saying, why are you the pilot? Well, right. You know, I'm the one she trusts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun, but I don't know. Are you okay with Kallus kind of being left alone now in terms of development? Do you think there needs to be anything else, or do you kind of want to just say, all right, leave him alone. Where he's at is good. Obviously, we need to have a final picture of where he ends up
as
a person, maybe not full-on character development. I think that has to be addressed, because where is Kallus in this new trilogy? And this kind of leads into our discussion for the next episode. Is he going to be one of the characters that are sacrificed? Is he going to die with the rest of the Rebels crew? Because I know a lot of us, you and I, David, are starting to think that all roads lead to death for the Rebels crew. Because the more we learn about them, you can't really tuck away these characters in a way that, like, how can you tuck away? Yes, the universe is big. The Rebel Alliance is big. And there's pockets of different Rebel factions fighting the same war in different parts of the galaxy. And you can easily explain them away. You can easily explain away Hera. You can easily explain away Sabine. You can easily explain away Kallus. But there's characters like Rex, Kanan, Ezra that you just can't simply tuck away. Rex is a clone trooper.
Yes.
Kanan is a Jedi. Ezra is a Jedi. You can't pretend they didn't exist during a time when everybody was enamored with Luke Skywalker being a Jedi.
That's why I'm like, it's interesting finding out, like, there are certain things out there that basically confirm that some of the Rebel crew actually survived. And while I like certain things that do confirm that some of the Rebels crew do survive, like the Rogue One stuff and everything else, it kind of takes it also kind of hinders it when we have like really deep questions. Well, if they survived, why did they survive? Why are they the ones that actually survive, you know?
Yeah.
And like the one thing that I wanted to bring up about like the importance of Kallus. Here's the thing about Kallus. Is his story done? Not quite, because if you think about it, when they were talking in that cockpit, they still had that illusion. They still had that feeling that basically, yeah, Kallus is part of the crew. However, Rex made an emphasis basically saying that, don't forget, they don't quite trust you quite yet. Because, yes, you're part of the crew, but they also in the back of the head know that you were chasing them for years and wanting to capture them and bring them to the Empire in the first place. And suddenly you want to actually defect? You're not telling anybody why they
But I don't think that's I think he was kind of teasing him. Do you think there's anything there? Like, I don't think there's anything there. Like, Kallus can't be trusted, right?
I would normally say yes, but then you're dealing with
Dave
Filoni.
What, you think he's a double agent? Come on.
No. You're dealing with Filoni doing, because the thing I always thought about was like, Filoni likes to write really deep stories. And we have to actually now the question for Kallus is, how can I prove myself worthy? That's honestly it.
That's valid. I can see that.
Think about it. I mean, like, when he defected, did that really just actually helping him in that one mission?
Yeah.
That mean that everything's all forgiven?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know what? That's a good assessment, Dave, because that may very well be his purpose this season. We may see in a couple episodes, maybe even one, where Rex's comments resonate with him to a point where he has to take action. Because there's some truth there. You're right. Like, yes, he defected, but is he worthy of their trust? Yes, he helped them, but in my opinion, I think he is worthy of their trust. However, as an individual, that might be something that he is struggling with.
Yeah.
Is he worthy to be in this group? Is he worth their trust? And you may, in fact, see Kallus, now that you bring that up, that actually makes perfect sense, especially the way it was left open-ended in this episode, where Kallus didn't say anything. He got up, switched to the co-pilot seat, said, "Was like, it was kind of like, fair enough. You know, you're right." And I'm wondering if, because they left it open, and based on what you just said, if we're going to see a moment this season where Kallus feels like he has to truly, truly gain their respect by some action that he's going to have to do. So who knows, man? There's definitely a lot of questions. And we don't get these types of things, David. And I'm not complaining about Star Wars Rebels without Dave Filoni. I think it's good. But I think we can all agree that since Dave Filoni has left, there has been a shift in the dynamics of the story and the way our characters connect and interact. That's the word I'm looking for. Connect and interact with each other. Filoni understands these characters, but he also understands the nuances of writing characters subtly and developing relationships in a 25-minute t- time, running time. So taking into account that Filoni is back, and I'm sure he will do the finale. I can't imagine him.
I'd be shocked if he didn't do the finale. Yeah,
and if he doesn't do the actual finale, he's definitely going to do the episode that deals with the finale of Ezra and Kanan.
Yes.
The actual true myth arc of Star Wars Rebels. He will be the man that has a hand in that. I just can't imagine him coming in for these two episodes and then bailing. There's no reason for that. I think we can definitely count on Filoni coming back to stay for the ending of Rebels.
He did it for Obi-Wan and Darth Maul, because that was a very personal story of,
right, it was part of his storyline
from Clone Wars.
Yeah,
and he needed to close that out. And I remember when Twin Suns came out, Filoni made the emphasis that he doesn't want to leave things undone.
Yeah, because he already had to live through that heartache when Clone Wars just abruptly ended.
Yeah, and then he had to he worked on the Netflix series just to finish it up.
Yeah, and to finish up the obvious story. He wasn't able to close out all these characters that he cared about. And fortunately, he was given a second chance with Rebels, where he can use Rebels to close out these stories by bringing them into the main Rebel storyline. And so far, it's worked so well.
Uh-huh.
Now, bringing it back, before we close out this discussion and go into the next one, I want to talk about the question that I believe is being posed. And part one, remember I mentioned at the top of the show the possible fork in the road?
Yes.
Or the crossroads, where Ezra will have to make a decision. And I would love for his story to actually amount to that, where he has to make a decision. It's very Jedi. It fits into the very core ideology of Jedi, always having to make the decision, right and wrong, light and dark. And presenting Ezra with a couple choices. The easy path, which is Guerrera. That's the obvious.
Yes.
They don't bring stuff up like that again unless they're trying to lead us down that direction and make it a viable potential outcome for Ezra. Will he join Saul Guerrera? Will he feel that they're not doing enough under the leadership of Mon Mothma? That is question one.
And that was the thing. Honestly, I was really shocked when the beginning of the episode, that scene between Ezra and Mon Mothma, I was shocked that Ezra basically makes the allusion that basically he says, he told Mon Mothma he made his decision and he wants to go home.
Yeah,
because he wants to save his planet.
Right. And
after Mon Mothma has tried to tell him, look at the bigger picture, look at all these other planets suffering, Ezra kind of alludes to the fact that he says, no, I'm choosing my home. Lothal is important to me.
Yeah. And I think that his story isn't tied into the bigger picture. And I think, honestly, that's the question we're getting. Is he going to? It's all about Lothal, number one.
It's all about Lothal.
That's why they're returning. So will, in order to save Lothal, will Ezra make the decision to join Guerrera and do things that way? Or will he be more Jedi-esque in his decisions? Which is a question posed in the second part of this episode discussion, which takes place in the flight of the Defender, which gets into some very metaphysical Jedi stuff. And I'm going to wait for the second question. I'm not going to pose the second question until we get into that discussion.
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to be my own little cliffhanger, David.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like this episode was meant to pose one side of a bigger question that's going to bleed into the final end game for Ezra and who or what he becomes, Dave.
And you know what's really cool? This episode reminds me of Empire Strikes Back in a lot of ways, because we open up with Ezra having a vision, a dream, similar to like what happened with Luke on Dagobah, where he's meditating and he dreams of his friends. And in a similar way, Ezra actually has the same vision of his friends suffering and dying. what does Luke do? He decides to go save his friends. What does Ezra do? Ezra decides to go save his friends. And then at the same time, it's like he makes a decision that we all know is rash, but we all understand his feelings about it. But it ties back into the decision, like what you were saying, is like, okay, if you choose this path, there's consequences to this path. You may not like the consequences. And I think this might be overstepping, but I honestly think running the parallels of Ezra and Luke, I think this past episode really pushed that lesson. Because in Empire Strikes Back, that was the whole lesson of Luke, was the fact he made a rash decision to run and go save his friends when he's being told that probably is not the safest route. Don't do it. Ezra is doing the same thing, but I think I feel that it's more the emphasis on Ezra brings that lesson out more than it did with Luke.
Yeah, I think Luke and Ezra are they're very different. What's the story? What's the word I'm looking for, David? I think they're two very different individuals with very different decisions to make.
Very different decisions, but
I don't think there's any parallels being drawn to that by Filoni. I get your point, but I think Luke is just very different individual, and his journey, his path is very, very different to what Ezra's path is.
Yeah.
But I do get the similarities between the two, between Empire Strikes Back and what we're being presented.
What we're being presented to.
For Ezra, yeah. So, all right, David, you know what? On that note, final thoughts of this episode, then we're gonna close this episode out and do the next one. So, final thoughts on this week's episode of Star Wars Rebels, The Occupation.
The Occupation was a really good episode. I really got an awesome vibe. I think Filoni does a fantastic job. Coming back to helm this episode to get us started. Overall, this season is really, really rolling on all cylinders. I'm really psyched to where it's heading. It's starting to get that Empire feel where it's kind of like, okay, it's getting the same tone that we have in Rogue One. So now, like, as Mike pointed out, as you pointed out earlier, we're getting to that point where it's kind of like we're questioning where are we going to actually get with this crew now?
Yeah.
And it's not looking very, very, it's looking very bleak.
Yeah. All right. So what do you get? A, B?
I would give this one an A. Solid A.
All right.
It's Filoni.
Yep. I agree. I give this episode an A, solid episode. As we said at the very top of the show, when we were blowing Dave Filoni vigorously and cupping his balls, but we were being very careful at the same time, not to hurt. Careful. Yeah, we're very tender. If we care about you, we're very tender. We're very careful. We have soft hands. We exfoliate regularly. So disgusting. So, all right. This episode is an example of what Dave Filoni can do with the Star Wars story. As soon as he steps into the scene, everything comes together. And I'm not just talking about action and excitement and choosing the right soundtrack. This guy understands how to bring characters from below the sand and bring them above. And I'm not talking about the obvious story. He understands the dynamics of these characters. And he brings them to life instantly. In a lot of the episodes that we have gotten in the past without Dave Filoni, it's an A to B type writing. It's okay, well, A will lead us to B, to lead us to C, to lead us to D. It's like they're going through the motions to tell a story. But as soon as Dave Filoni comes on, it's not just the A to B. It's A and then what has made A happen. Then how is A going to lead to B? And then how was B created? And then same thing with C and et cetera. There is the whys and the whats are being presented.
There's so much depth that he's doing.
Yes. And that is why I give this episode an A as well. Dave, on that note, that wraps up this week's discussion on Star Wars Rebels, The Occupation, the fifth episode of the fourth season. Now, if you're listening on demand, we are going to close out the show, but all you have to do is push play on the next Star Wars Rebels discussions. Thank you.
May the Force be with us.
Hello, this is Stormtrooper 1, and if you've missed any portion of the show, you can always head over to FromTheBackToTank.com and listen to the show at your leisure. We're also on Stitcher, Smart Radio, Stitcher.com, search, Bacta, and add us to your favorites. Thank you. And listen responsibly. And may the Force be with you. And long live. Thank you for listening to From the Bacta Tank. And From the Bacta Tank is executive produced by Michael Flores and Dustin Lucas. Hosted by Michael Flores, David Zavala. You can find out more about our show by going to www.fromthebacktotank.com. You can also find us on Twitter at FromBackToTank, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/FromTheBackToTank.